Dear listeners, Jesus was getting ready to willingly and deliberately surrender himself to enemies who intended to kill him. Yet, his main concern was the safety, peace, and well-being of his disciples. The treacherous 12th apostle, Judas, left to secretly facilitate the arrest of his master, while Jesus remained with the other 11. Of course, Jesus knew it, and had already alluded to Judas's role in the whole plot of the religious leaders to have him crucified. In fact, he even pointedly made Judas aware of his knowledge of the whole plan and his role in it. His remaining 11 chosen apostles were confused. How could this be? They had experienced firsthand Jesus' miraculous powers. They also knew that his life was so perfectly holy that nobody could in any way accuse him of anything. There was no valid reason for anyone to harm him. How could anyone betray him? And how dare anyone try to lay hands on him? They were shaken when Jesus said that he was going to leave them. They needed to know and understand what was going to happen. They were still yet to know his true identity and needed reassurances of Jesus' abiding love and provisions for their comfort and protection. The 14th chapter of the Gospel of John begins with Jesus' words of comfort. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." These words explain to the disciples that Jesus' departure ought not to trouble them. On the contrary, understanding its purpose would bless them and bless all who believe in him. Jesus went on to remind them of their commitment to him. He said, "You believe in God? Believe also in me." He was calling them to realize that their faith in God is very closely connected to their faith in him. In the gospel, knowledge of God is inseparably tied to the knowledge of Jesus. That's why he said to them, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And he continued to elaborate by adding, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Dear listeners, already for 3 years the apostles had been in Jesus' constant company. They knew him as a most unusual human being. In Matthew's Gospel, we read that Peter already confessed him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yet it seems that Peter did not really understand the true meaning of his own confession of Jesus' sonship of the true living God. At the time, Jesus clarified to Peter that the remarkable confession he made was not based on Peter's own knowledge or understanding. He said to him, "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Like Peter, the rest of the apostles still had not really recognized Jesus' divine identity. The gospel goes on in John 14 to say, "Philip said to him, 'Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us.'" Philip's words clearly illustrated his and the others' ignorance of Jesus' inseparable connection to the true living God. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" Dear listeners, huge multitudes followed Jesus from one place to another. They experienced firsthand his miraculous powers. Some could distinguish between him as a teacher and other Jewish teachers. We read in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel that Jesus went into the large synagogue in the city of Capernaum to teach. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Still, the crowds identified Jesus only as a remarkably authoritative teacher. It seems that the apostles themselves did not know much better. They had not yet realized the divine nature of Jesus' teaching. Philip requested of Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." In response, Jesus clarified, "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Obviously, the apostles had spent much more quality time with Jesus than the crowds that followed him. They saw more of his power and heard more of his teaching. They were being prepared by him to be sent out to bear witness to him. But they were in a state of shock. He not only had told them that he is going away, but more than that, he was going to be arrested, humiliated, and experience sufferings to the point of death. Naturally, this was not what they wanted to hear, and Jesus knew it. For this reason, they needed to finally know from him his true identity. It was necessary for them to realize that his words were not mere human words of a powerful teacher or another Jewish prophet. He said to them, "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works." Dear listeners, this is how the Apostle John begins his Gospel, describing Jesus not just as the teacher of divine words, but as the divine Word himself. He was in the beginning, before time. He was with God, and he was God. He was not just a miracle worker. He is the author of life, who came to give new life to all who trust him and cling to him. Hallelujah.